The last words I heard Kōbun Shinō Roshi say as he was leaving a group of his students of even longer term than myself in the months before he moved to Colorado with his family. At the very end of an hour that we spent together monthly, he said, "I didn't come here so that you would become Buddhist. I didn't come here so that you would become Zen students. I came here so that you would know yourself." Uchiyama Roshi wrote that as we live a Zazen life, we will know who we are. You might say that those two were Dharma brothers. They had the same teacher in Kotozawaki. Kōbun called Kotozawaki his Zazen master, whereas Uchiyama Roshi was a full student of Kotozawaki's, a Dharma heir, and wrote books about Kotozawaki, principally Homeless Kodo. When Kotozawaki passed on in 1964, Uchiyama Roshi took over his Antaiji temple in Kyoto and began at that time the style of Sesshin that became known as the Antaiji style. Every month they sat for 5 days, 14, 50-minute periods a day, with only 3 hours break in their 17 hours of awake time, and that being for each of the three meals, and a little bathroom time between. And there was focus on the Zazen that Kotozawaki taught all his life. Of the many things that Kotozawaki is quoted as having said about Zazen, for me, the one that summarizes it, and it's hard to say that, but he said that all Buddhist scriptures are only footnotes to Zazen. All Buddhist scriptures are only footnotes to Zazen. So Uchiyama Roshi stayed on in Japan, somewhat of a rebel in even in the Kyoto circle of Zen teachers and temples, and eventually moved Antaiji away from Kyoto out into the to hills, forests, hours away. You have, as I did once, you have to walk at least an hour from the closest little bus stop to get to Antaiji. Whereas Kōbun followed a more traditional path, although he identified with Kotozawaki as his Zazen master, his training, besides being in his family temple, then he went to a Heiji and was identified by Suzuki Roshi, and we know the story of Kōbun's, for the most part, we know the story of Kōbun's life after that as he came to the States. But while he was here, he talked about his Zazen master. You know, one of various masters he talked about, I think more I heard him talk about Kotozawaki as a Zazen master than any of his calligraphy masters or archery masters. After all, he came here to share zazen with us, so normally he would talk about Kodosawaki. But he didn't really lead or design, orchestrate sesshins in the style that Uchiyama Roshi did back at Antaiji. However, he it very much encouraged us to read Uchiyama Roshi's first book translated into English, Approach to Zen, first published in 1973, and later changed a bit and reissued as Opening the Hand of Thought. When I met Kobin in Santa Cruz in 76, the group of students that had been with him around Santa Cruz for about half a dozen years said, "Hey, Peter, you don't have to read many books about Zen. Read the Shobo Genzo, read Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and read Approach to Zen." And they were right. That was plenty. And they grasped onto the chapter here that Uchiyama Roshi writes about no toys, sesshins. Once again, that wasn't what Kobin orchestrated. But when Kobin wouldn't be coming some Tuesday night to Santa Cruz, I think came over the hill from Los Altos, if he knew he wasn't going to show up, he would say, he didn't have anybody take his place. He would just say, the first thing, sit another period of zazen. We usually have one period and then we would have his talk. He'd sit another period of zazen. Or if you don't want to sit another period, at least discuss your posture, practice your posture, help each other out with posture. And only as a last resort, have somebody give a talk, do a reading. And that was easy for us, that core of people living at the Zen Center, coming regularly to adhere to. And it wouldn't be unknown for Kobin to, we would plan two or three sesshins a year away from the Zen Center. There was no really residence there for sesshins. We'd rent a place in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Plan on Kobin coming for the 7 days, and then Kobin wouldn't show up. Or he'd announce in the last minute that he wasn't coming. But for the most part, that wasn't disappointing for us because we saw that. And I say we loosely because I didn't get to the 76, and some of these people, Kobin had started coming to Santa Cruz in the early 70s, so they were at 5 more years of Kobin and Uchiyama Roshi and all that before I got there. But we would latch onto that as an opportunity to turn it into a no-toys sesshin. Good. Kobin's not going to be here. No Dharma talks, no Dokusan, no service, no chants, no meal chants. We'll slip in 50-minute zazen periods instead of all having them all be 40. And that was my first introduction to, once again, what is loosely called Antaiji-style sesshins. As we start to practice it here, as we started in recent years, I think more appropriate is silent sesshin, no talking sesshin, and intensive, just sitting sesshin. Cliff, I remember you talking, you had some experience with this style sesshin at the Hidden Villa, and I didn't go to any of those. There were that style. The only ones I went to there were the more traditional style. But my notes from previous Rohatsu talks here were that you shared that there was a somebody motivating sesshins in that direction at Hidden Villa in the 70s.
Yes, there were. Generally, Kobin was a little bit uncertain, but I think more regular there. And that was a little bit earlier, too. That my memories are based in. But they had 110 No, a 70-minute long zazen period in the morning is a killer.
70 minutes. They don't even do that at Taiji and Sanshin in Bloomington, where one of Uchi Yamaroshi's students, and he had several that came to the States and continued his style of practice. One is at Sanshin Zen Center in Bloomington, Indiana, and Shahaku Okamura is the Roshi now, I think. And when I sat one of those sashins there, they didn't do more than 50, which was plenty. 50, 14-minute periods a day is a lot of sitting. I wanted to share with you some of the highlights of those pages in Approach to Zen, once again, Opening the Hand of Thought, which you may remember, those of you who were around here a few years ago, Michael and Dan Sigmund, who was our shuso that practice period, had a studying, Opening the Hand of Thought, and there were weekly circles in the community room discussing sort of paragraph by paragraph, Opening the Hand of Thought. And so I like these are my excerpts from there that I think are appropriate to what, not from the whole book, from the chapter about no toy sashins. Absolute silence is so that we become the self, which is only the self, without socializing with others and without the distractions of others. Zazen actualizes the reality of life, the self, which is only the self. Since it's your own practice, you just do zazen wholeheartedly. Zazen is not something a person should be forced to do. It is a practice you do yourself. Let go of delusions and aim at a solid zazen posture. One can therefore not help but return to the self, which is only the self, only the life happening here and now, and which is unmoved by delusive thoughts. In these sashins, there is no dokusan, and the teacher faces the wall. There is no watcher, no one being watched. There is no self separate from other. Each one has to carry on one's own practice, zazen, as a self which only is the self. The most important thing during sashin is to become submerged in zazen as it is, the self doing itself by itself. Only by sitting still and leaving everything up to the posture will time pass of its own accord. Sashin is the practice we carry on prior to the distinction of one's own power and the power of others, prior to time, prior to persevering. Since zazen means to sit and aim at being one with zazen, there is no zazen that is good or bad. In just sitting and waking up to zazen, the various conditions going on in our heads simply become the scenery of our zazen. To calmly sit amidst this cause and effect relationship without being carried away by them is shikantaza. We have this life to live, and we sit zazen, we will know who we are. Once again, that connection to Coben's final words that I heard. We will know that the value of our life is not in what other people say or in what we want. It is essential that we live out the reality of our time, of our true self, whether we're sitting one period, one sesshin, or more than 10 years. And I think we can see the connection, or hear the connection, in what Dale shared with us this morning about Buddha's enlightenment, this self-seeking the self, learning the self, realizing who the self is realizing our Buddhahood, our self-nature. Before I go on, any questions or comments? I won't be going on much longer because Kobe Gerald put the clock right here, so I should have not. So I wanted to go into some of the logistics of the next few days to, once again, minimize the need for talk or even the need to write notes to each other. And unfortunately, the Eno isn't here, but the Doan is, so I'm sure you two will communicate before tomorrow. And feel free to add or ask questions about things that I might have forgotten here. The rope chant in the morning, once again, there's no chanting throughout these next 4.5 days, but let's do the same bell and hard bell. What do you call that? It's a soft bell, the dead bell. Mm-hmm. And then just pause there. They give people a chance to do what they're going to do. Chant silently, put their okesa on, and then before you start the three bells for the zazen. So it's maybe allowed the same amount of time you would, except there's no loud chanting. And as Abijah and Doug and I talked briefly, the meals will be the same as an evening meal with clackers only. At the appropriate time when we would do a verse, numberless labors brought us this food, at that clacker, let's have a pause there so people can, in their own few words internally, show gratitude for the food before moving on with the clackers and beginning to eat. Just so that moment of gratitude comes there.
Would it be all right to use the kind of card and stay it silent?
I don't see there any need for it, but if somebody wants it, I mean, the cards are there in the dining room. You can feel free to put one by yourself. And the clacker. Usually, there's no clacker for the hungry ghost offering, because the words of the chant tell us when to do it. But let's have a clacker there instead of it, since there are no words. A clacker at that point, and then we'll put the offering on our setsu. Obviously, the collection's going to come. Oh, that's without words. There's no need. Tenzo, does this sesshin with more emphasis on silence cause you any issue? Do you need any special?
Okay. I have a question on the as far as the chanting, like in the morning,
the non-chanting, you mean?
Pausing for the beginning robe chant, and then silently chanting, and then the meals, like as far as the cards and stuff. I'm just wondering, with the no toys, like just going back to that theory of practice, because to me it seems like the toys, the no toys, is more of like what's going on in the mind rather than what's coming out, because what's coming out is just... So would you suggest that when we have those pauses that we go ahead and chant in our heads if we want to, the robe chant, or would you suggest kind of sitting in silence for a minute?
Well, I didn't want to impose, you know, people relate to their okesu or the rakusu in different ways, and I didn't want to impose that they, that particular relationship that they have with their robe or rakusu be impeded. So that's why that one in particular I felt it was important to allow that space there. And it's, I'm not saying you need to chant anything in your head. You could just sit there, as I will. And you know, I didn't plan to have pauses at the meal other than, you know, as we, the food's been served, we're getting ready to eat, and we gasho, and that be a, just a, you know, this, like I would say, when I eat my own, many labors have brought me this food, I know how it comes to me. Maybe that goes through my head. That's it. Brian's suggestion about the card, I don't personally don't see a need for it. It could lend to take us back to the toys thing. So, but I did remember at the closing remarks of one of our intensive sesshins, Doug mentioned that he felt awkward not having that pause before starting to eat. And so that was where I was coming from on that, to acknowledge his suggestion. But I'm not trying to bring stuff back in and just have all that space there and just have it silent rather, you know, having it in our heads. That wasn't my direction.
This is really helpful. I didn't understand that what we are going into a formless sitting practice. And so the pause is there to use as is appropriate in that moment.
But I'm not saying that, you know, particularly during the meal time, it's not going to be, you know, a pause for as long as we would have been chanting, right? We're not doing that. You know,
I was thinking that we should do the meal chant. I was thinking that was your instruction, but now I'm understanding that your instruction is that that's an option or whatever is appropriate.
No, I don't get into too many options here, too many individual practices. We're all, you know, in this together, as the sashins are. So I just, you know, the little tricky thing about the hungry ghost offering, you know, Michael said, this, you know, that's done in silence, so let's do it. As with Manjusri and the Tenzo Bao, they're silent rituals, and there's no reason not to have them there. And just the timing of that, putting the offering out there, just like the clocker might get us all doing it at the same time rather than 14 people doing it at different times. So just continuity.
I infer that all the meals will be Oryoki meals and in the dining room?
Right, except the Friday lunch will be the social, but maybe hopefully quieter than usual. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that at closing remarks. If you have a need to communicate something that is needs to be done and it's too long to write a note out, I'm glad to see that Doug made small note cards so you can't put too much on. But please move away with whoever you need to communicate with, away from the buildings, away from others, and do it briefly in whisper tones, away from the buildings. You may have picked up, hopefully you picked up, that when I read what I thought were the essential parts of Uchiyama Roshi's words here and Koban's emphasis to us in Santa Cruz about, if I'm not there, talk about, if you're going to talk about something, talk about posture, practice posture. If anybody had some questions about posture, zazen instruction. I'll go to the small zendo tonight at first period, this evening's first period. Now I'll be there in case anybody shows up with any posture questions. But that'll be the only opportunity. Uchiyama Roshi says in here in more detail, he says that he doesn't offer any zazen instruction during the sesshin. He expects people to have learned all that before they come to one of his sesshins. But we're not quite as strict as he is. So. It didn't happen Friday night, but another opportunity if anybody wants tonight. There's this period of 4.5 days is more intense, more periods of zazen, less breaks than usual. But there's no, this isn't a quantitative approach. It's not how much you sit. We commit ourselves to the sesshin, to the schedule. We aim at sitting every period. But if you don't, you don't. The practice isn't only when we're on the cushion. Make the same effort in everything you do. There should be no guilt about not being in the zendo if you need to take a outdoor kinhin, in addition to those that are on the schedule. Whenever you're in the kitchen, any activity you do, that same zazen mind, the same shikantaza, just doing it, being aware of your body, being in your body, your posture. We can do that anywhere, and we do. That's our practice, to do it everywhere. We carry that with us. Nobody's watching. Once again, we're all facing the wall. Nobody's watching how many periods you're in the zendo, how many periods you're not. Turn yourself over to following the schedule, the han, the clackers, the bells, and no need to be concerned about other activities. And lastly, I'd like to say that though we aim at not talking, our other senses, we chant, all five skandhas are empty. Paradoxically, all our other senses, including a sixth sense that comes along with the sesshin practice, those all begin to help us communicate and take the place of having to talk or even write out notes. We become more in tune with each other visually, hearing-wise, smell-wise. So let all those senses, all the skandhas, help us communicate with each other in silence.